You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.
Bloomberg Audio Studios.
Podcasts, radio, news.
Shares of Alphabet just soaring in the after hours right now, Carol. Higher after the company reported earnings. Up as we speak, another 13.6% in the after hours right now. This after declaring a dividend, boosting a buyback, authorizing a repurchase of up to an additional $70 billion in shares. First quarter ad revenue coming out above expectations. First quarter also declaring a cash dividend of 20 cents per share.
All right, so let's get to it. James Chacmak, so much to talk about. He's partner and technology analyst at Clockwise Capital. He joins us from Miami. First of all, Alphabet, feels like I can't find anything wrong here. Walk us through. Is this just kind of firing on all cylinders, and if you will, and then just throwing on a dividend and then throwing on an additional buyback?
Yeah. First, thanks for having me. For Alphabet, this was a tough one, you know, because we had the Meta earnings last night, you know, uncertainty as it relates to the sustainability of the top line growth metrics. And obviously Alphabet via Google had, uncertainties around their search business. And at the same time, you know, this growth in CapEx spend, you know, is that going to translate over? So, you know, we were kind of debating what to do. And going into the quarter, we actually rotated a portion of our Microsoft position to triple up our Alphabet position. So thankfully that worked out. But
it's
I think the key for Google, they're both up. So, yeah, I mean, it worked out.
So why did you do it? What was it that you saw, James, in the Alphabet story that you said you wanted to do that?
Well, the main thing was the relative valuations. I mean, the expectations for Microsoft were exceedingly high, and the expectations for Alphabet were exceedingly low. And you look at one's trading at 22 times earnings and the other one's at 35 times earnings. So you know what kind of the risk reward is, and especially we had some sense of how things might trade. If they came in on a bear kind of narrative, given how Meta traded. So it really just boils down to that. But the fact that Microsoft was able to exceed those nosebleed expectations is a testament to the trends and the force of trends that we're seeing in the shift to the cloud and AI more broadly.
Hey, I just want to get your thoughts on Snap, because it's a company you've been covering for years.
We love to ask about that every time.
The good and the bad. Well, and the reason I'm asking is because shares are up, surging as we speak by more than 20%, 25% at this point.
Yeah.
This is after the company reported.
They are down 32% year to date.
They are. That's important context. the company is seeing second quarter revenue from $1.23 billion to $1.26 billion versus estimates of $1.21 billion. As Carol mentioned, it's been a brutal year so far for Snap. How are you reading into these results? And you don't own Snap anymore, do you?
No, not for a long time. With Snap, you know, they were supposed to be the camera company and transformed into, exactly what they were initially, you know, just messaging and some content initiatives. But at the end of the day, you know, I think it's really, really hard for these niche platforms to scale in the manner in which is necessary to provide the differentiation to advertisers and the return objectives and return enhancements on that ad spend. So I think that the disparity between these niche platforms like a Snap versus the likes of Alphabet and Meta will only increase from here. The caveat being that you have companies like Pinterest, which we used to own but sold, just given the fact that it hit our target. you know, have more opportunities because of the engagement that they bring that is likely to grow over time versus, you know, stick to a more static rates, which is from the likes of Snap.
All right, we've got to go back to Google. Forgive me, Alphabet. I keep calling it Google, but
that's
I mean,
sure.
of course,
that's what the
Alphabet.
Kids used to call it.
I know, I know. Up 12.5% here, folks, in the aftermarket. This stock heading into it had about a 12% gain on the year here in 2024. The stock was up almost 60% last year. But, you know, when you look at Alphabet, James, and you look at its business lines and its roles and its play, whether it's AI, whether it's still advertising in a big way, you know, our own Mandeep Singh saying, you know, this company is all about engagement. That's kind of so valuable. And that's going to be valuable, certainly, in terms of machine learning and Gen AI. This is really important mm-hmm. stuff. I mean, how do you think about, you know, Alphabet in kind of its future growth trajectory and kind of where it goes from here? I mean, this is a pretty impressive report, but it's also right appeasing investors of saying we're going to throw some cash back to you.
Absolutely. I mean, anything with respect to returning capital to shareholders or, you know, getting religion on the cost side of their business and utilizing their cash flow for more constructive purposes rather than throwing it into black holes, which is the way that they have been operating for as long as I can remember. That being said, I think that the future for Alphabet and Google, you know, still remains a question mark. We don't know, and I don't think anyone can definitively say what that search environment experience is going to look like in the future, you know, when if you look out 5 years down the road. Now, the good news is all of this stuff seems to be like coming at you fast, right? All the AI, I mean, it's over the since January of 2023, it's been coming hard and fast. But the good news is on the behavioral aspect and the consumer experience, you know, things have changed with ChatGPT and whatnot, but things aren't changing that fast overnight, which affords Alphabet time to really figure things out, whether it's cannibalistic to their existing search business or not. You know, I think we have time. So I think extrapolating too much too soon is a risk. You know, so as long as they have the time, you know, they might figure it out. They may not. But they might. But
James,
I look into 2024 and 2025, and that's it.
Could critics argue about Alphabet that declaring a dividend and boosting a share buyback potentially isn't the best use of money right now? Perhaps they should be investing more in AI. Perhaps they should be investing more in making sure this search product is bulletproof.
Yeah, I mean, they're throwing off tremendous amounts of cash as it is, and they're investing a lot. And you look at the margin disparity versus a Meta, you know, they have a lot of cushion there. And they're investing, you know, strongly as well. So I don't think it's mutually exclusive. So long as the ball continues to move forward, which is what we need to see, and we'll see what the color commentary is on the call, I think it'll be okay. I think the longer term is where the questions linger. Shorter term, it'll be fine.
All right, so let's go to Microsoft, because it's also the other big one, one of the big ones after the close. It's up about 5% here in the aftermarket. This one, sales and profit beat expectations on robust AI demand. That's the headline on our story. So quarterly sales and profit climbing more than projected, lifted by corporate demand for Microsoft's cloud and AI offerings. Revenue, as we said, up 17% in the third quarter, $61.9 billion profit, $2.94 a share. Analysts on average estimated per share earnings of $2.83 on sales of $60.9 billion. So again, outperformance here. And we know that Satya Nadella has been really infusing all of Microsoft's entire product line with AI technology, thanks to its partner, OpenAI. So thoughts on Microsoft, what we got here in the quarter, what it tells you about their business today and going forward?
Yeah, what's most amazing to me is the fact that they're able to maintain the growth rates no matter how big their revenue base gets. And the fact that they're able to deliver the numbers that you just cited and do so in an efficient way where earnings are continuing to grow at the same rate. So it's not there's no contra indicators on, and you know, sales versus spending. So that to me, the sustainability is the biggest and most impressive component of their operations. And most importantly, you know, broadly, I think you can extrapolate that the themes on the data center spend and the semiconductors, like the NVIDIAs of the world, and the direction of corporate enterprise and their appetite for shifting from analog to digital is as strong as ever. So I think it's a very, very good omen for a lot of these companies and being at the center of it. Because you can make any analogy that you want. We're in the first inning, third inning, whatever. But right. I think the main thing is that the world is going to – I think Sam Altman had this quote that he said, the technological changes that we've seen over the last 500 years the changes over the next 50 years will be greater than the technological changes over the last 500.
Right.
You know, so that's the pace of change that we're talking. And a lot of that's going to come in the first decade. And these companies are all at the epicenter of it.
Just want to point out, Azure, Microsoft's cloud computing unit, revenue gaining 31% in the quarter above an average prediction of 29%. So picking up slightly from the 30% growth in the previous period. So, you know, that's a trend line. If you're following it, right, you want to see.
I mean, there's a chance we see both of these, depending on what happens, there's a chance we see both Alphabet and Microsoft hit new records tomorrow in today's trade, depending on what happens. Okay, I want to talk, James, just a little bit about Microsoft's legacy here and the way that it's been able to shift and embrace AI. Where's the most important part of looking at Microsoft's growth moving forward? I mean, I know we obviously know Azure is incredibly important, but the company has made a huge bet on AI with OpenAI. Where do you start to see that investment and its relationship with OpenAI manifest in earnings?
I think it's going to be, you know, exactly, you'll see it in the Azure business, but more broadly in the intelligent cloud segment. I mean, it should continue to translate on that front. But it's not just that segment. It's going to feed into other parts of their business too. You know, on their subscription side of their software services and potentially even gaming. And you know, so there's a lot of levers I think that will be pulled from that relationship. And as the world and corporate enterprise continues to move in that direction, more data is going to feed into it, which is going to fuel even more efficiency with respect to the capabilities that they do. And, you know, Copilot, you know, for instance, is just on the, I don't want to keep saying first inning, on day two of its potential. So, and there's a lot of money to be made there that you'll see that I don't think is being appreciated at all, virtually at all right now.
These are all different companies, but they're all working on AI. And to a certain extent, they're competing with each other when it comes to that technology, no question. Given what we're seeing from shareholders in reaction to Microsoft and Alphabet today, and given what we saw today in the session from reaction from investors to Meta Platforms sending shares for their worst day in months, what did the two companies that reported today get right? Or maybe a better way to ask is, what did Meta Platforms get wrong?
I think what they got wrong was largely related to the management of the expectations. You know, there was no indication around the pace of investment that's necessary to sustain the kind of growth. I mean, they talk very qualitatively about this is a big opportunity ahead, you know, all the metaverse and yada, yada. You know, there was no pushback whatsoever on the questions and commentary with respect to, you know, how we should expect the pace of investment to ramp to justify and capitalize on the trends that Zuckerberg talks about. So I think it was more of an expectation versus reality mismatch that probably could have been better managed.
All right, let's just remind everybody the big earnings after the close and those that have really outperformed here and showing some stunning moves to the upside. Microsoft among them, that stock, as we mentioned, it is moving up just about 4.4% here in the aftermarket. And the company coming out, sales and profit beating expectations, lifted by corporate demand for the software makers' cloud and AI offerings. We talked about Azure gaining revenue alone, gaining 31% in the quarter. That was above analyst expectations. Revenue in the third quarter overall up 17% to $61.9 billion. Profit was $2.94 a share. Analysts on average estimated per share earnings of $2.83, so below what they actually came in with. And the estimate for sales was $60.9. So again, really hitting out of the park when it comes to those estimates. And that is certainly one reason why you're seeing the stock, or a big reason why you're seeing the stocks up. The stock of Microsoft, I should say, up at the aftermarket.
Okay, let's repeat a little bit of what we saw from Alphabet. The company's first quarter Google ad revenue coming in at $61.66 billion versus estimates of $60.18 billion. And the company authorizing a repurchase of up to an additional $70 billion worth of shares, also declaring a dividend, a cash dividend of 20 cents per share. First quarter revenue, excluding traffic acquisition costs, $67.59 billion, beating estimates of $66.07 billion.
To the downside, Intel shares are down more than 8% here. Biggest maker of PC processors, lackluster forecast from the company for the current quarter, indicating it's really still struggling to kind of find its way back to the top, if you will. Sales in the second quarter will be about $13 billion. That compares with an average analyst estimate of $13.6 billion, according to our data here at Bloomberg. Profit, again, the outlook will be 10 cents a share minus certain items versus a projection of 24 cents. So that's a pretty big miss. We're talking with James Chalkmok, partner and tech analyst over at Clockwise Capital. James, is there some underlying theme? We're not through all the Mag 7 companies. We've got what? Amazon next week.
And, yeah, we've got NVIDIA in a while.
Right?
Yeah.
So we've got some other players to get through.
Next month, NVIDIA.
Is there any themes that you're finding, certainly for the investment community, when it comes to especially these big tech names, the Mag 7 often, who haven't always been so magnificent as of late, what they're saying and kind of their impact on the overall market? Is there some big takeaway here for you?
I think the biggest takeaway is that the sellers of these data center services are the best place to be. You know, from NVIDIA to Dell, those are the server side. Like, we own VRT, which helps with the cooling systems, comfort systems. You know, so there's a lot of these companies that play into building out the companies that are selling to the hyperscalers. I think we'll continue to be in a great position. Now, as far as the Mag 7 is concerned, I do think, you know, the market is still in a state of choppiness and volatility. And I think that's going to last until we have better clarity on what the Fed is going to do. And you saw the GDP numbers today. So there's mixed messages as to which direction macro is going versus tech and which one to prioritize. Because if you prioritize the economic cycle, then that means valuations are at risk. If you prioritize the tech cycle, that means that earnings are the focus. And right now we're in this world where some days valuations are in focus and other days earnings, like today.
Hey.
So I think you just got to stay nimble at the end of the day.
Hey, James, last question, 30 seconds here. I'm looking at Time U.S. Equity on the Bloomberg Terminal. This is the Clockwise Core Equity and Innovation ETF. It is up this year a whopping 18.3%, outperforming all the benchmarks. Amazon is your second biggest holding after T-bills, accounting for 5% of the portfolio. We got Amazon coming up. 30-second preview of Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon, it's the only of the Mag 7 that we feel that we haven't cut exposure to. You know, it's a 5% or give or take weight, and we're maintaining that. I think the data that you saw from Microsoft and today in the release of the cloud is a very good omen. They're firing across all three of their businesses, you know, on the grocery side, the retail side, the cloud side. And this is the first time in a while that you've seen everything going in the right direction, and most especially on the margin. So, you know, we like the risk reward here. You know, I think next year you could get to 225. This year, probably upwards of 200. So, you know, it's one that definitely keep in the portfolio for sure.
All right. We're going to leave it on that note. Hey, James, thank you so much. James Chalkmok, partner and tech analyst at Clockwise Capital, joining us on Zoom from Miami. A lot of names moving here in the aftermarket.
From Silicon Valley to Wall Street, the promise and perils of artificial intelligence are playing out on the world stage. But what will the next phase of AI adoption look like? Which companies, from big tech to startups, will dominate? And where do the risks and unintended consequences lie? I'm Emily Chang. Join me at Bloomberg Tech in San Francisco, May 9th, to answer many of the industry's burning questions, alongside Snap's Evan Spiegel, Xbox President Sarah Bond, OpenAI's Brad Lightcap, top researcher Dr. Fei-Fei Li of Stanford, and many more. More details and just a few tickets left at Bloomberg.com/TechSF.